Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com. I am joined by Richard Justice, also from MLB.com. And in just a minute, we are going to bring in Brian McTaggart, the longtime beat writer for the Astros for MLB.com. Richard, where do we start with the Astros? At some point when they started the season, they looked awful, and then they looked unbeatable. And I guess the truth lies somewhere in between. But when you look at the overall progress of the Astros, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm going to look at it as the glass half full, is that that George Springer is a dynamic player, a dazzling player, that John Singleton has a chance to be a very good player, that the starting pitching has been pretty good for stretches, and that if Singleton and Springer, you could argue, are the beginning of the wave of minor leaguers that they've worked so hard to build a great system, and that, you know, Correa will be here next year and Appel next year. And so something good is happening. But, you know, in the interim, the record is not good again. And it takes a lot of discipline. I'm sure it's testing the front office. Let's bring in Brian McTaggart, long time, and I mean a long time, beat writer for MLB.com covering the Astros. Brian, what's the big picture view of the franchise? Why do you think general manager Jeff Luhnow and owner Jim Crane, how do they look at where they're at this point in the reconstruction of the Astros?
Well, I think truthfully they probably would like to be a little farther ahead than they are right now. Like you said, they've been up and down this year, and at the end of the day, they're still, you know, struggling near the bottom or at the bottom of the standings. So I think this was the year they thought they would make some strides, and, you know, maybe they still will. There's still a lot of baseball left to be played, but a lot of the guys that they signed and brought in the offseason are either injured or just have not worked out. But like you mentioned, the future is in the guys that are coming up, and the Springers and the Singletons. And they've had their ups and downs, and the Springers had some very, very high ups, especially in the month of May. But he's got a long way to go before he's going to be the guy that can carry this team. And Jonathan Singleton has struggled pretty much since he came up. He's had glimpses here and there of showing some power, but he's going to have to, just like Springer, he's going to have to strike out less. And we saw Domingo Santana come up, and he was completely overmatched. And Carlos Correa is injured, which really throws a kink into things. And Mark Appel has struggled, which throws a kink into things. So there's been some ups, but been some downs as well as far as the whole rebuilding plan. And but they don't have time to sit here and feel sorry for themselves or wonder, whoa, what are we going to do now? They need to keep pushing Appel, and when he is ready, he needs to get on the field and play, and he keep running Singleton and Springer out there in the lineup and get them some experience.
I've heard, just regarding Springer, you know, you just hear people raving about the kid, and I heard somebody recently who's kind of an insider but doesn't have any reason to, you know, wax poetic on these guys, said he's a six-tool player, and as we, you know, he's got the five tools, and then he's also got it up in his head, too, that he's got everything kind of together. He knows how to be a baseball player. He knows how to handle the pressures from day to day, and he's just got a great attitude. But do you think that there's too much pressure being put on Springer and Singleton to sort of do things that maybe they're not quite ready to do? I mean, normally, kind of when you bring up, you know, future stars or guys that can help you or, you know, your top prospects, I mean, you kind of wean them in, and you sort of, you know, there's veteran guys around them that can kind of, you know, ease the pressure. These guys are, like, just right in the middle of the order, and they need to produce. And do you think that could have a negative effect long term?
Yeah, I think it probably does provide some pressure. In fact, when they got swept in Anaheim in early July, Bo Porter sort of said as much after the last game. He said, we're asking Singleton and Springer to do things they're probably not ready for. And I think what he meant was, they're hitting third and fourth in the lineup. I mean, you got two rookies hitting third and fourth in the lineup in the prime spots. And guys are coming after them, and they're getting them out. And they're swinging and missing a lot, striking out a lot, not putting the ball in play. And, you know, I think they both handled it pretty well. I think they're both, I think you're right on about Springer. He seems to be very natural and comfortable in his environment. He's everything you want in a ball player. Singleton seems to be pretty low key. I don't think much bothers him, but yeah, usually you'd like to have the veteran guys hit in those spots, but who are you going to put in those spots if you're the Astros? I mean, you can't put Chris Carter or Jesus Guzman, or there really are no other options. I mean, these are their power guys, and you don't want the rookies hitting in those pressure spots. Right now, that's the only options they have.
Brian, is it your feeling that in this roster shuffling the last couple of years that they have found guys that could be here for a while? Castro at catcher, Singleton we've talked about, Altuve as a terrific player, Matt Dominguez at third, Fowler in center, Springer, Keuchel, Cozart. Are they slowly starting to get pieces in place for when they're competitive again, guys that could make the transition?
I think they are slowly. I think they would like it to be a little quicker. I know last year one of the things Bo Porter kept saying was that, yeah, we really struggled this year, but we identified a lot of guys we'll believe will be a part of our future. And he talked about Dominguez and Grossman and Castro and guys like that. Grossman was handed the opening day job in on left field and has been up and down three times now. So is he the future? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure Matt Dominguez is the answer. He's going to have to hit for higher average. He's going to have to get on base more. So I think that with Altuve, you have a guy you can bank on in the future. Castro, I think you do, but he's really not had a good year. Fell off a little bit from his all-star year last year. I think pitching-wise, I think you have a few more guys you can see your head out. You mentioned Keuchel, Jared Cozart, obviously. Maybe Peacock gets it together. I think Dexter Fowler is a guy that could be traded next year or even this year, probably next year, because he's going to start making good money. And they'll have, hopefully, in their case, they'll have some more prospects to come up. They can put Springer in center field. Maybe Santana's going to be ready, and there really won't be a need for Dexter Fowler. So they found some guys that they could use more, and they could use more as soon as they can. But if you look at the AAA roster right now, other than Preston Tucker, as far as the position players, I just don't see any position players at AAA as being a guy that's going to come up here and be one of those players that you can bank on in your lineup for the next few years. So it's kind of a tough situation to be in.
The Astros are not in a position right now where they have a ton of depth, even though they have made major strides in the last few years in building the farm system and just having reinforcements. But one area that's been a problem for a couple of years and it appears to be a problem again is bullpen. I know that they had signed Jesse Crane with hopes that he would be recovered from his injury issues and might be able to join the team at some point this year. That kind of looks like it may not happen for a while. And then, of course, Matt Albers, who they find to be a healthy player all year, got hurt, and so he's not available right now. Do you think that they didn't do enough stockpiling? Do you think it's just kind of bad luck with the injuries, or do you think that they didn't pay enough attention to putting together a bullpen? How do you see that?
Well, I think they rolled the dice on some guys, and let's be honest, I think they had a real hard time finding top-notch free agents or even, medium-market free agents that wanted to come to Houston and be a part of a team that's rebuilding. And, if you look at signing Jesse Crane, he lives in Houston. Matt Albers, he lives in Houston. They signed Scott Feldman, who's a starter, but his wife's from Houston. He's got ties to Texas, and they paid him really a ton of money. So as far as the bullpen goes, I think they tried to get some other guys. I don't want to say they had to settle on some guys, but I think they rolled the dice and said, hey, if we can get a healthy Jesse Crane and a healthy Matt Albers, then, all of a sudden we're rolling a little bit. And they signed Jerome Williams as well, and they ended up getting rid of him. He didn't work out. I don't think there's any reason to believe that Crane's going to get on the mound at all this year now. I mean, we're looking at the July here, and he hasn't even come close to coming back in the game. Actually, he hasn't pitched in more than a year, so I'd be surprised if you see Jesse Crane at all. So that would be a complete swing and miss on that one for the Astros' case. Albers only pitched in 8 games. He doesn't appear close to returning either. So, thank goodness for Chad Qualls. I mean, but you got to get Chad Qualls the ball as well, because he's settled in their closer role, but they really haven't had a lot of closing opportunities. And, Anthony Bass has been hurt, and they're depending on guys like Tony Sipp, who's pitched pretty well, but they're depending on him to do stuff in the 8th inning that you really don't want a left-handed specialist to do. And the bullpen, when they played so well in May and into June, the bullpen was the reason they were pitching well. But as soon as the bullpen kind of soured a little bit, the whole team went down with them. So it's very important. And, I know Jim Crane said at some point soon that he wanted to try to fix the bullpen, but I don't know how you do that during this season. You have to wait for the offseason.
Brian, the Astros have had 3 straight, the number one pick in the draft 3 years in a row. They used it on Carlos Correa, young shortstop, in 2012, and Mark Appel, right-handed pitcher from Stanford last year, and Brady Aiken this year. In terms of Appel and Correa, two guys that, they would like to be cornerstone players for the franchise. They both had some good, well, Correa played great until he broke his leg. Appel struggled. If you're an Astros fan, when can you expect to see them in the big league?
Well, I think the best case scenario for both of them is next year. And, you know, whether Correa's injury is going to affect that or not, I don't know. He was set for a promotion to Double A right before he got injured. And I think he would have came to camp next year competing for the starting shortstop job. And I think he would have won it. I mean, let's be honest, who's in his way? Really nobody. I mean, Jonathan Villar, I don't think he's the answer. And Enrique Hernandez did a nice job when he called up, but he's more of a utility player. So this, I think it was going to be Carlos Correa's job to lose at shortstop. And it still could be. You know, I know the breaking the bone he broke, it's not a weight-bearing bone. So maybe he goes to winter ball and gets enough at-bats where he can come to spring training. I think Appel is a little tougher to say because you're dealing with a lot of different issues. He's healthy, but he's just not adjusted to professional baseball. It seems like he's slowly gotten his feet under him a little bit as we got into July, where he was pitching every fifth day and at least going five innings. But right now it seems to be a stretch that he would be in your rotation in an opening day. And I think when they drafted him, I think if you would have asked the Astros and they told you truthfully, if you had Mark Appel who's going to be in your rotation opening day 2015, they would have said yes. I'm not so sure that's the case now.
Well, Brian, he dominated at one of the great college programs in the country, Stanford. What has happened to make this transition so difficult, even in A-ball?
He pitched once a week at Stanford. You know, he was their Friday night starter, and he came to pro ball, and he's pitching every fifth day. And I know a lot of players have been drafted and have to do that, and a lot of players have succeeded in doing that. For some reason, it just didn't click with Mark, and he had a hard time adapting to that. And they ended up sending him back to extended spring training for a month, and he came back and appeared to get his feet under him a little bit, but. I think the Astros were surprised by that, probably disappointed that he wasn't able to come in and make that adjustment, pitch every fifth day. And I know that is a big adjustment for guys, but you're right. He was pitching an A-ball, and now Lancaster's not a pitcher-friendly place to go. The ball flies there. The ball flies in that ballpark the whole league, and so he's pitching in that league, and he gets knocked around a little bit, and he's never been knocked around before. Now, how does he handle that? I mean, he's going out there and getting beat up, which hasn't happened to him probably before ever in his life, maybe. So he had a lot of different things going on with him, and now they're having to take it slow with him. And he still has a whole second half ahead of him, and they can only hope that he's going six, seven innings. The good thing for the Astros is he's healthy. The velocity is still there. His stuff still needs a little bit of work, but he's still got the good arm. And if you have that arm, somebody can teach him the things he needs to do to succeed.
Well, we have to have a little positive talk, and of course, that would be about Jose Altuve, who is just not only a fantastic baseball player, but a terrific person as well. I think we all know him, and to know Jose is to love Jose. But what he's doing, I mean, he is on a historical pace with the hits that he's getting, and he just set a record for the most hits before the All-Star break for an Astros hitter, surpassing Bob Watson. So. Just what is it like to cover him and to see what he's doing is pretty amazing. And I think people are forgetting that he's, 5'5". I don't think that matters anymore. He's just a great baseball player.
Yeah, and watching him on a daily basis is such a joy. Not because it's what he does on the field, which is fun to watch in the sunrise, but he has fun. Altuve loves what he's doing. And so many star players, it seems like they don't have fun. They never smile. It seems like a chore to them coming to the ballpark, watching them play. But Altuve, if you watch him in the dugout or if you watch him on the bases when he's chatting it up with the players, he's having the time of his life. I mean, he's cherishing every moment in this. And I don't think he'll change. I mean, I think that's who he is. He worked too hard to get to where he is. He had too many people tell him he was too small and too short. And I think every day he comes to the ballpark trying to prove everybody wrong. And even now that he gets a lot of love nationally and people seem to know the name, I think he's still working hard to achieve things. He's never one that talks about individual goals. But I know he has a lot of individual goals he would like to reach. And I know he wants to reach 200 hits, which he's only been done once before in Astros history. And assuming he stays healthy and doesn't fall off the map, he's got a chance to break the club's hit record that Craig Biggio set back 15 years ago. But he's just a joy to watch. He plays so hard. And in the offseason, he really committed himself to getting in better shape so he could get down the line quicker, beat out some infield hits. Maybe that could get him another 20, 25 hits. And that's really important to him. So even though last July he got that contract and he's set now for the next few years, he came this year and worked even harder than he has in his entire career. And you got to tip your hat to him because he plays the game the right way. He plays it hard. He's having fun, and he's one of the best hitters in baseball. And hope Astros fans really appreciate what they're able to see every day when Altuve plays.
I don't think there's any doubt that he is going to surpass Biggio's record as long as he stays healthy. So it'll be nice to have a little national attention on the Astros for a positive reason. Brian McTaggart from MLB.com, thank you very much for joining us.